Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line on another Thursday in the DMV. Thank God that we've had some cooler days since last week, and weather's pretty nice. And we thank God that he has a way of refreshing us. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Sheila G., on last week, there was something that you said in your one of your comments, and you said that's why it's important for us to study the word and not just read the word. And as I was going through the lesson for tonight, I was saying that the reason that it's important to piggyback what you were saying and to study the word is to prepare us for how to apply the word as we go about our lives, our journey with God, our carrying out the great command, our mission, our assignment for God, is to study the instructions. There was a preacher I met many years ago, and he used the acronyms Bible as biblical instructions before leaving earth. It's like these are the instructions that we should follow because many challenges come in our lives. And as we studied on last week, one of the challenges was to continue to be encouraged in the midst of great difficult circumstances. And as Paul was making his way, and as we're studying the last chapter of the book of Acts, as Paul was making his way to Rome, God would always bring an angel or people, or last week we saw brothers and sisters, to come and to encourage him. And so in studying the word instead of just reading the word, we can know that we can continue the journey no matter how difficult it is, when we need it most, God will send us someone or send an angel or through some kind of way through the power of His Holy Spirit to encourage us to continue on our journey. Sheila G.
Amen. It's interesting that you said that, because that very thing happened today where with my current client, it's three of us ladies that are working together that I'm helping. We're all Black women that committed our lives to Christ. And one of them, we had this great, wonderful meeting. We had these young college students under us. We met with the marketing department that had the crotchety old men, but things have turned around in the last couple months, and this was the first, it was like the best meeting. Well,
okay.
She called me, the supervisor called me tonight during dinner time, because just as much as God has brought forward, we're bragging on the goodness of the Lord and how He brought out one of the guys that wasn't there, sent this really nasty email saying that he said did not agree to do this, blah, 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 blah. He forgot that they had written minutes and everything from the prior meeting,
mm-hmm.
but she's so right. discouraged because we were all on such a high and just that quit.
Yep.
Satan. But when I was talking to her and I was talking her through it, I was like, this is what you got to do. Just go get the meeting, get the minutes from this, send us this, copy this, don't even reply, ignore the noise. You know, we're just going to work around it. We brought the new, and just I was able to calm her down. And at the end of it, she was able to refocus and do what she needed mm-hmm. to do to send it up to the CFO. And she, at the end of the conversation, she said, she thanked me for encouraging her, because in
wow.
the past, this particular person was just nasty like that. And he didn't realize mm-hmm. this is a new crew, it's a new people, it's a new way of doing things, and we're not going to that nasty, biting, lying, setting people up type of thing. But she said she had to call me, even though it was after hours, just to share that, because she was like ready to fire back an email like they did in the old days, but she needed that calming down. And I know if it wasn't for the fact that we're all on one accord and one spirit, that's why Satan had to rise his ugly head. Plus, we're three Black women in management, and they're having a difficult time handling, because one of the women from before, she got promoted, and then me and this other manager, the one manager just came in, and I just came in. But immediately I called on the Holy Spirit, and I was really praying for it this morning to lead God mm-hmm. and direct our path, because I knew we were having that meeting. But at the end, she was calm. I encouraged her. I stayed on the phone with her. She wrote the email, sent it to the CFO, and she's like, I'm not even going to worry about it. So she went from being stressed to saying,
yeah.
putting it in God's hand, but God use me to be the calm one to help encourage her. And I don't give that calming spirit to me. I give that calming spirit to the Lord.
Amen, amen. And that was the encouragement that we are talking about in this last chapter. And like you said, the Holy Spirit will guide you and use you to help somebody else. And Dr. G, I know last week we were talking about how new birth and as in your pastoring that you've helped other ministries along the way. And it seems like that in the hierarchy of ministry and pastors and things like that is far and few in between, where you have other leaders that will come alongside and encourage people in new ministry or people that are starting off new ministries help them, encourage them along the way. It seems like that spirit of encouragement from top leadership is starting to wane, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. Be honest with you, you really don't see it a lot in this day and time. Every now and then you may run across a pastor that's willing to, you know, kind of use his funds or use his church to help other people. But I've always been like that, and you know, it's a shame that, you know, you look at some of these big-time pastors or small-time pastors, but it's all about them, you know, that their little island that they have there, their little kingdom, and how people treat them. But, you know, as the Word teaches us, it's about reaching out, servicing other people. And what better way to do that than encouragement?
Amen. It's so important. And even as Sheila G, as a young child, you know, our parents, you know, they always encouraged us. And one of the things that they encouraged us is to do the right thing. And
right.
Because it's so easy to get caught up in the world and do the wrong thing and go along with the crowd. And mm-hmm. And I know Mom used to always tell us, well, I'm not so-and-so's mom.
Right.
But we would tell us, so-and-so's mama let them do what, X, Y, and Z. And she would say, well, I'm not so-and-so's mama.
Yep,
but anyway, and then she would say, if so-and-so jumped off the bridge, you going to follow?
Right.
So she would encourage us, even in the midst of the peer pressure. I think that's a lot that goes on. And I'm reminded of Satan, his pressure tactics to Adam and Eve in the beginning, where, you know, he's telling that God is lying and holding out on you. And, you know, that kind of pressure to do the wrong thing. But you have to have parents. You have to hang out with folk and have people in your circle that are going to encourage you to do the right thing, even when everyone else is telling you in the world to do the wrong thing. And you find sometimes you have to stand with the two or three or the faithful few instead
right.
of going along with the big crowd. Sheila G.
Amen. And that takes faith. That takes not, like you said, following a man, but making up in your mind that you're going to follow Christ and that you're going to make that takes faith and commitment. And that's one thing, like Pastor and I have been talking about amongst ourselves, the one thing that we saw with the pandemic and everybody getting comfortable with being online and then, okay, now things are settled and the churches have opened back up again, people are not coming back to the building. And so you had the excuses to people why they weren't coming online because they felt like they had to be in a building to worship God. But then you had, okay, now we're back in the building. They're not coming back to the building. So, again, if that's not making yourself a committee of one with your walk with Christ, but following the crowd. So I say that to say that if you stand alone and you're following God, if you put following man first, that is to your own detriment. We have to make up in our minds that even if we have to stand by ourselves, as long as we know we're doing God's work, in the end, we may not see it immediately, we'll be blessed. We're seeing that right now in the political world. You know, it looked like they were on top of the world a couple of years ago, and they were winning,
mm-hmm.
even with the
mm-hmm.
January 6th thing. But now here it is. You got somebody, all these people being arrested and all these people that fell, to your point, following behind man instead of doing the right thing, now later in life, late years later, it's coming back to bite them.
And that is so true. It's sort of a way of understanding that, like with Paul, his Christian ministry, his ministry journey, it was a journey. It just wasn't something that happened overnight. And I think sometimes people get caught up in the moment and are not in it for the long run. It's when you, it's for the long run that you know there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, there's going to be setbacks, there's going to be challenges along the way. But as you study the Word of God, you encourage each other, you know that in the end, God is going to get the victory and it's going to work out in your favor, but you have to stick with it, even if you have to stand alone sometimes. And standing alone with man, men get discouraged, but with the Holy Spirit will let you know, Dr. G, where two or three are gathered in the name of God, that he's in the midst. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather ride along with the two or three in God than 6,000 or 7,000 folk, amen, that not even pretending like they know God. Help me out, Dr. G. I'm meddling there.
Well, I'm keep meddling, but you're right. I had to live through that. I had to get to the point where I wasn't concerned about the numbers, but continue to do what God said. And granted, I had some folk around me that they were happy not to have all.
You said that, Dr. G? I think we lost. I think they got to call back in. But when we look at Paul's journey, we see that he is coming to his ministry in Rome. It took him a while to get there. It took him a year, months, shipwrecks, some ups and downs to get to his ministry where he's ministering at Rome. But along the way, God always encouraged him. God always gave him what he needed. God always allowed him to make it through whatever the challenge was. And that's the thing that we have in ministry, is when we rely on God and we walk in faith, that we know that God is going to bring us through, and that we can pull, like Sheila G says, on our past victories, that when the storm rolls in, we're saying, all right, here we go. We're going to buckle up because the storm is coming. But we know that God will be with us in the midst of the storm, the trial, or whatever it is. And no matter what stage you are in your Christian ministry, what matter stage you are in your physical life, as far as your age or whatever, God has concern and your best interest at heart. And so every stage of your life, every stage of your ministry, God will be there. God will help you and God will sustain you. And you will be able to carry out what he has designed and called and purposed you to be. And so that's why it's important to study the word. And, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of times in Bible study, you'll have less people in Bible study or Sunday school than you would have during a regular worship service, because people they like the power of the Spirit, they like the emotion of the moment during a worship service, but the line by line, precept by precept studying of the Word of God, it's more of a learning, more of a teaching type of thing, more of a practice type of thing. Everybody likes the big game, but nobody likes the two-a-day practices in the summertime or the practices in the fall or in the gym or wherever you are on the road preparing for the big event. And, you know, you're going to have events in your life, but you got to practice. You got to study the Word. And God says the benchmark is to study to show yourself approved unto Him. And so a lot of times people get caught out, well, I don't like the way that one taught. I don't like the way that one taught. I don't like the way this church did it. I don't like the way this church does this. But they use that as an excuse not to study at all or study just a little bit. But God says study to show yourself approved unto Him, unto God. And God has given pastors and God has given teachers for the perfecting or the edifying of the body. And so I see a lot of times people just stop coming to church, stop going to church school, stop going to Bible study because of man. But God says you're not supposed to be studying unto man. You're supposed to be studying unto Him. And God said the way that you would receive His knowledge, because God has an order and He does things decently and in order, because He's given pastors, because He's given teachers, that we are to avail ourselves to the pastor, to the teacher, so that they can carry out what the Holy Spirit has gifted them to do, to impart this unto you. And, you know, you can buck that if you want, but that's what the Word of God says. And so a lot of times people will get in the wrong line because of what they feel or what they think instead of what thus says the Lord. Help me out, Shuji.
And that brings us right back to the thing of how we talk about we can't walk by the flesh, which is our emotions, but we have to walk by the Spirit, which is our faith in Christ. And we have to have multiple areas of relationship with God, the corporate all together, the individual, just you and God, and service. I think that's one of the big pieces that's missing because the society is so selfish and it's all about me, but you're not willing to serve others. But then again, how are you going to serve others? How are you going to tell somebody about the goodness of God if you don't know the word and know how to apply it in your own lives? And as you were talking about teaching and learning and following, we go to school for that. We go to kindergarten. We go to first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way up to 12th grade. And even when we go to work, we get on-the-job training. So in our humanness, we're open to learning how to do things, whether it's school, whether it's work, and just because that's hard, it doesn't mean you're not going to go to work. But we go to work because we're like, oh, we're going to get paid. Well, it's the same thing. If you study, the more you study God's word, the more you get into him, the more you allow him to lead, guide you, and not look at man, the more you get paid, but you get paid by blessings, and you get paid by the blessing of peace, so that when things do get crazy, like I was talking about this evening, because the person I was talking to, she has a relationship with God, when I was able, even though I'm talking about work stuff, we could both feel the presence of the Lord giving that peace. But if you don't, I think often people separate spiritual, okay, this is what I'm going to do on Sunday. I'm going to come on Sunday. I'm going to check that box off. But then for the rest of the week, they separate it, and it's what I do in the world. And you need to carry that through everything that you do so it becomes automatic that even if you're living in this world and you're doing things in this world, the Lord is right there with you. I was watching this morning because I catch the metro to work, and I saw there's one lady that I always see her with her rosary beads on the green line, and she prays. And this morning there was a man, and you could tell even though he had his hands folded in his lap and his eyes closed, you could tell he wasn't sleeping. You could tell, you could feel this, that he was praying to the Lord. And I was like, and I usually say a little prayer when I get on as well, but I was like, can you imagine if everybody that got on the train just bowed their heads for a few minutes and set up to the Lord and carried that into their job, things would be so much better.
Amen. Amen. And so that leads us to this final section in the book of Romans, where you said where Paul has been encouraged Acts, the 28th chapter and verse 16, after Paul was encouraged, and verse 16 says, when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. In other words, he was at house arrest. So it was the journey that finally got him to Rome. He's been encouraged, and now he's ready to present his case of being accused by the Jews of blasphemy before the Roman government, who had oppressed the Jews, and so they could not kill him or do anything or cause any trouble unless they got approval from Rome. So Paul was able to arrive, and because he was a Roman citizen, even though he was a Christian, he was a Jew, he was able to obtain a housing and under house arrest. And he was ready and prepared to present his case. And so that leads us to verse 17, where Paul preaches at Rome under guard. In other words, he's still not free, but the Holy Spirit has given him freedom even in the midst of his oppression. And God will give you a boldness even in the midst of a harsh condition. And you see, this has been many times the MO of the Christian, that in the midst of harsh conditions, in the midst of unideal conditions, the Holy Spirit will give you boldness to be able to speak a word on behalf of God in these difficult situations. And Dr. G, I'm still in awe, and I believe it'll be 30 years of preaching starting next year that I'll be preaching 30 years, so that God will always allow His Holy Spirit to speak a word. And there's situations where you say, God, I don't want to preach this. I'm not going to say this, or I'm not going to do this, but the Holy Spirit will give you a holy boldness that even in the midst of the difficult situations and the unidyllic situations, that you're able to stand and preach the word. And I look at all the preachers around the world that the Holy Spirit is operating in and through, that the gospel is being preached. And when we start studying our next book, we're going to study the book of Romans, and when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power and the salvation, the Jew first and also to the Greek, not a respecter of person, but to realize that that is the plight, or that is the role of the church. Jesus commanded that he told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But Paul is preaching the word under guard. In other words, in a difficult situation, he's preaching the word, and that this is the kind of holy boldness that the Holy Spirit gives his ministers, his preachers, his children of God, that wherever they are in this world, whatever condition it is, that they can stand and preach and teach and live and share and encourage by the Holy Spirit the word of God. Dr. G.
Well, sitting here listening to you, Pastor C, I was going over in my mind, it'd be, I think it's 46 or 47 years for me preaching first Sunday in September. So I often go back and I think about the time that I've put in to my ministry. And the thing is, I mean, pastoring is definitely tough, but I don't regret no time that God has called me. Because, I mean, I was a young man. I didn't know what was going on, but I was under a good pastor. And I knew that it was, that calling was strong. And I had to share that with him. And when I did, that's when it began. So the encouragement comes, and you need it. You have to be committed to doing what the Lord wants you to do. Now, in 40-some-odd years, I'm not going to say it's been an easy journey, but I've learned so much during that time. And where I am now, I look back to when I first started, I have grown by leaps and bounds. I know this thing is real, and that's why, you know, I've shared with others, you know, say that they've been called, don't play with it, because God is looking for serious-minded people. And if you're getting in it for the wrong reason, you think it's a lot of money in it, pat on the back, and all, it's not about any of that. It's about doing what the Lord wants you to do. And the rewards come in different ways, so you have to be content with that.
Amen, amen. So here Paul is getting ready to crank that preaching machine up. He's been ministering through all these ships and boats and islands that he's gone on to get to Rome. And so he's winding the preaching machine up. And so verse 16, it says, I mean, verse 17, Romans 20. I'm sorry, Romans. I want to go to Romans already. Acts 28, verse 17, it says, 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, my brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. And so Paul is calling together and saying, well, let's do this thing. You know, the folk in Jerusalem acted up, and you know, they handed me over to the Romans, and told them how bad I was, and so, you know, they wanted to meet me, and then they realized I was a Roman citizen, so they got scared and said, well, we can't do anything to it. We don't want to upset Caesar because we're under the oppression of the Roman government, so we're gonna let Caesar and them handle us. And you know, they said we'll send our representatives to present the lie, I mean the case against him. And so Paul sort of like the little incident with the emails and the meeting minute notes that you were going through, Sheila G. And so he had to present the facts. And so
yep.
He presents this to them, and God will always prepare the way. So like when Jesus was starting his earthly ministry, he sent John the Baptist, and he sent them in a weird way, or call it eclectic way, where he had ate honey and locust and wore animal skins and was out in the wilderness telling people repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, and he prepared the way for Jesus' earthly ministry. And so God will always prepare this way. And so here Paul is talking to the Jewish leaders. He got them together. And so in verse 18 he says they examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. In other words, when you all handed me over to the Jews in Jerusalem, and they said I didn't do anything, you guys disagreed with the outcome, and people that disagree with the outcome, they are double minded. They want it. They it can only be their way. Even when you present them the truth, even when you present them the facts, even though you went through trial at the court and all of these things, because they didn't like it, they wanted to kill him and they wanted to disagree. So they'll go to whatever level to have it their way. And it sounds like what we're going through in our political arena today, where you have a group of people that if they can't have it their way, they'll try to burn the whole thing down. And yep. you present them the truth. You go through trial after trial. You give them an avenue to present their case. And when their case comes up that they're not guilty or they've done nothing wrong, sort of like what Paul says, he didn't do anything wrong, then they want to kill him. You know,
mm-hmm.
they want to murder. They want to murder the people that are in their way. And this has been going on since the beginning of time, even up until today. Sheila G.
Amen. It made me think. I don't remember the movie, but there was a military movie where someone said, tell the truth, and the person said, you can't handle the truth. And there are a lot of people that cannot handle the truth because they're not looking through the eye of faith, but are looking through the eye of Satan. It's just demons. It's a demonic world. All these things are happening. And people are listening more to the Satan, who's the author of lies, than the truth, and as if it's really going to get them whatever they want. And that's what's happening here. It's like as hard as they try, you know, as you're studying this, every time they try to do something evil, God turned it into good. And as I've said before, I start calling those type of things God winks, because it may be what you see with your eye, may be impossible, may be difficult, may be challenged, but through it all, God will give you a God wink, whether it's like at night when he has told him to be encouraged, whether he was encouraged mm-hmm. by these people before he had to go and tell that. And so you can stand on that truth because you have the confidence in the Lord, because he continues to give you these little God winks so that you know you got this, you got this, you got this. But people will believe a lie out of emotion, because that's how they quote-unquote feel, but it's not about how you feel.
Amen. And so Paul goes to explain the truth again. So he goes on, and in that verse 18, he says, they examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. And so he said the Romans said there's there's no reason to keep him. So, and verse 19 says the Jews objected. So I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. And so in verse 20 says, for this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I'm bound with this chain. And so even in the midst of those evil spirits trying to kill him, Paul is still trying to appeal to them.
Yep.
To reason in the scripture, to go back and put aside their humanness, to look back and see what the prophet said, to see what the book of Moses and all of those folks had taught, what they were pointing to see how Jesus was the one that fulfilled this prophecy. But because of their unbelief, because of their selfishness, Paul is his words anger them more. They don't want to hear it because they love darkness more than they love light. And Jesus is the light of the world, and he came into his own, and his own received him not. They didn't receive him because they love darkness more than light, and that's what sin will do to this world. This what sin has done to this world. It caused people to be selfish and unconcerned and disobedient to God, and to encourage other people to be unconcerned and disobedient to God. But that doesn't negate the fact that God is still reaching out during this dispensational period of grace, telling people like John the Baptist, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. While today is today, you know, harden not your heart. And the hand of grace is extended during this period of grace. But there's going to come a time where the hand of grace is going to be withdrawn, and the tribulation period is going to come. The church is going to be raptured. The church is going to be, Jesus is going to crack the sky. He's going to halt in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They shall rise incorruptible, and we who remain will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, because this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. And so the church is going to be raptured out of this chaos, out of this world, and then there'll be a dispensation, a period of time of tribulation. And this is the driving factor for the church to continue to minister, even under house arrest, even under oppression, even under difficult times, because people will not accept God's remedy for death in the grave. God has already sacrificial life, the blood of Jesus Christ. He's already defeated death in the grave. But people will choose death in the grave and hell over new life in Christ. For whatever reason, they'll reject it. But when it comes time for them to stand before the judgment seat of Christ or to go through this tribulation, they will be like that fella that died. When the Bible says that Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man went to hell, and he could see that Lazarus was being comforted, and all he wanted was a drink of water, just to touch the tip of his tongue with some water, and to send somebody back from the dead to tell his kinfolk, hey, this thing is real. And God told him, he said, you have the prophets of Moses. If they don't believe them, how are they going to believe somebody come back from the dead? And he said, besides that, there's a big gulf in between it where you can't get to them and they can't get to you. And so understanding the finality of not accepting the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, should compel us to tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. Sheila G.
You know, as you were talking about that, part of the problem is something that I think we discussed this. It was one of the topics many, many months ago about people are wasting time trying to get ready or not trying to get ready for, and they don't know if they're going to die today, tomorrow, or if Christ is going to come back. And it's like, you can't get ready, you better be ready. And part of being ready is understanding, studying God's word, knowing your role, being committed to him, and stop faking the funk. There's too many people that are just pretending through life and acting like they're Christian. And it's like, okay, you know, how many times have we heard people say they don't go to church because they're trying to get themselves together? Well, that's trying to get yourself ready. You can't get ready. You have to be ready. And that's what Paul is saying. It's like, y'all doing all these shenanigans. Here you are trying hard, coming after me as a man. And I'm telling you about the goodness of the Lord, and you're going to choose evil to try to destroy me, who is a mere mortal, and you're not going to be ready when your time is called and God and you pass away, and then it's going to be too late. Not enough people are still trying to halfway wait to get ready, but you got to be ready so that if it's the next moment and you go into, and the Lord decides to take your life or he comes back, you're ready to go, and you can't try to get your house in order then.
Yeah, it's going to be everlasting too late at that point. And we have to have that as our driving force, that people will either accept it or reject it. But it's not our option not to present it. And I think in ministry, once you have that understanding that the Great Command or the Great Commission was not a choice, Dr. G, but it was a command. And I think a lot of time in ministry, people take it as a choice. Well, I can if I want to, or if I don't want to, I can. And particularly ministers, people that have been called by God to be ministers, it's one of those things where they're going to have to give an account for that. God called you, and God expecting you to play your role in ministry, and you pick and choose when you want to minister or how you want to minister, and that's not the great command. The great commission is Jesus said go, and he didn't say if you felt like it. Help me out, Dr. G. I'm meddling now.
Well, it's okay because it's the truth. And, you know, it's a shame to say, but as ministers, that's why I said before, you know, we really have to be serious about, well, all Christians should, but as a preacher or teacher, you really have to be convicted and have to be convinced that this is what the Lord wants you to do. Because too often and too many times, I mean, we can look out into the world, you look out at churches nowadays, and you can tell those that are just faking the funk, those are just going through the motions. But you're right, you know, it doesn't take away from our charge that we must continue to try, just as Christ did. And he knew what was going to happen at the end. I mean, he went to the cross and the seven last sayings on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, we have a calling. We have a charge so that we have to go forth and do as the Lord tells us to do, whether we want to, whether we like it, whether we like the situation. We have to go forward and do what God say do.
Amen, amen. Let's pick back up in verse 21. We'll go back to verse 20. So for this reason I have asked to see you and talk with you, talking to the Jews in Rome, is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. And like you said, the charge that we have to carry this out. In verse 21, he said, now this is their reply back to Paul. He said, they replied, we have not received any letters from Judea concerning you. And none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. So all of this stuff that these folks were doing in Jerusalem. And usually when they have legitimate charges, they will forward it to, along with the case, to the authority. But because they knew their case was weak and they didn't want to face the retribution of bringing false, unsubstantiated charges, well, they decided, Sheila D., we just not going to send it. because they knew they will face the retribution, sort of like these lawyers that bring these frivolous charges into court and in jeopardy of losing their license.
Yep.
So they just conveniently didn't bring it. So basically, God dropped the charges, and so Paul is starting afresh with the Jews at Rome, because the folk from Jerusalem didn't show up. There was no show, because they knew that they would be in trouble if they started this frivolous stuff, carrying it to Rome. So here Paul is telling them, and they're telling them, we don't have any letters, or nobody said anything bad against you, and he goes on, and in verse 22 he says, well, we want to hear what your views are. Well, we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect, so they know a little bit of something about it, but you know, they didn't have any proof. They didn't have any papers or anything. So he said, well, let us hear what you got to say, because we know you got people talking bad against this sect or this thing of Christianity. And so in verse 23, it says they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. And it says he witnessed to them from morning to evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. And here it goes. It says, some were convinced by what he said, but others would not. In other words, there were some folks believed and some folks that did not.
Yeah.
Sound like church.
Yeah,
And then he goes on in verse 25 and said, they disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. Sounds like the church, right? some going to agree, some not going to agree. Some going to stay, some going to leave. However, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth. Now, this is Paul meddling, Dr. G. It said, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors. Now, he talking bad about your history. And in other words, he said, your mama was this, your mama's mama was this, and I'm going to leave that alone. So the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet. Now he goes back and brings the word that all of them know, and all of them are trying to pretend like this wasn't true, that this wasn't the word. And he goes back and he quotes the prophet Isaiah, the one they always talking about, the one they always professing. Isaiah prophesied this and this, this, and see, and they lied through their teeth. And so Paul says, let me go back and bring this scripture back up. So in verse 26, 27, he says, go to this people. He's talking about the Jews. Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. And here goes, Dr. D, meddling hard now. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Lord, have mercy. In other words, the path to everlasting life, the path to your healing is at hand. Jesus has defeated death in the grave. Isaiah was pointing to this. But because of their callous heart, they refused to accept salvation. They refused to accept the off-ramp, the ramp that's running them straight to hell. There's an off-ramp in Jesus. But they refused. They got signs miles down the road. Jesus, 2 miles. Jesus, 1 mile. Jesus, salvation, healing at the next exit. But they don't want to pay attention because they like running the life of the highway, the fast lane. And they go miss the off-ramp and run straight into hell. And verse 28, Jesus says, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. In other words, they're gonna shake the dust off their feet, and he's gonna go to somebody else and present the gospel to somebody else. Paul was meddling, and their word is gonna stand forever. Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. And that's why I said it sounds like the church, and I really have seen that, particularly recently. Demita and I were looking at the history of New Birth, including the building. The building was built in 1922 by an Italian, the Redeemer Italian Church. We actually pulled the deed and everything and got that information. And that church, because to your point, the ancestor, when we started reading the history, the pastor passed away. And as a result, that church ended up dying in that building, dissolved. It didn't die, dissolved. But it got sold to New Birth in 1964. So New Birth has been in that building. This year is 100 years old. New Birth is 60 years old. And it's gone from ancestor to ancestor to ancestor. But every time somebody... And we've seen it in the last 28 years, and you can see it throughout the history, that somebody would be stiff-necked, somebody would come in there and try to dissolve it. God would just say, okay, this church is not good for you. It's not good. Go on about your business, and I'm going to keep the faithful few because it's about the people. I will allow my spirit to reign with those that are here and those that are serious. Those that are up here just for whatever form or fashion, eventually they'll be there for a season, but they will continue to move on. And that's what it makes me think of, the history of the 100 years in that church building, but it was only two churches, one from 1922 to 1964, and then from 1964 to now. That is nobody but God. And it keeps, Demeter is one of the descendants of the first founders of New Birth that first moved into that building. So it does go down from ancestor to ancestor, but God is only going to take those that are serious. If you're faking it, he will move you on, and he will take what he has. And it's just amazing to see that it's nobody but the Lord. And then even this year, what we see he's doing in New Birth with less people, he's just continuing to show how great and mighty he is.
Amen. Amen. And that's God. And he will show you that his word is true and his mercy is everlasting. And and you see Paul says, all right, you didn't want to hear it. That's what the word said, that you weren't going to hear it. And now ministry is going to the Gentiles.
Yep.
And in verse, he said, they'll listen. verse 30, he finishes out in verse 30 and 31. He says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house. He's still under house arrest and welcomed all who came to see him. And verse 31, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus, kept on ministry with all boldness and without hindrance. And the Holy Spirit allowed him to continue to preach and teach. And wherever you go, the Holy Spirit will give you that power. And I relate that to when we started this chapter. I'm sorry, we started this book of Acts in chapter 1. And where the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind, and the fire of the church was lit, and the people were able to speak to every language so that everybody heard the word of God in their own language. And here at the end, the word is still being preached with boldness and without hindrance. And my brothers and sisters, this is going to bring our study of the book of Acts to a close. And it's been a powerful study. Dr. G, any comments you want to make about the study of the book of Acts?
No, you've, I think, done a good job, all of us, really. Paul is a, you know, he's a, has a certain type of spirit, and it's amazing how the Lord used him through the good, through the bad, the ups and downs, but he kept his faith, and he continued to preach and teach and do what the Lord wanted. And that's pretty much an example of what we have to do. I've been convinced now that God is not through with us in the midst of everything that we're going through in this world.
Yeah,
you know, you can see the Lord's hand on those that are serious. And I do believe what the word says, that there is going to come a time when those non-believers, the Lord is going to remove. But we who say we believe have to continue. We must teach. We must continue to preach. We downsize. We do whatever we have to do, but we continue to go forward.
Amen. Sheila G., History of the Church, 28 chapters of the book of Acts. It's been powerful.
Yeah.
Your comments?
I just like to go back to when we were studying it in the beginning, and I think it was in chapter 2, or it may have been even in chapter 1, how we were able to read it and say, oh, this is why we have the order of service in our bulletin. It's not just something that was made up, but oh, yep, they did praise and worship. Yes, they did prayer, and then came the preach word, and then came the benediction. So it's like even in the 21st century, you can look back at the first century and see how that's passed down. And so it's truly in line with what the theme of this Bible study is, there's nothing new under the sun. That was one thing that was really powerful to me, to be able to see, wow, that order of service really is straight from the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go to the phone line, see if someone else has a comment about the study of the book of Acts. We're going to go to our first caller. Last 4 digits, 1741. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
This was a beautiful study. I learned a lot about Paul, and thank you all very much for sharing and teaching the word, the gospel on Paul. One thing that I admire about Paul, when he made up in his mind and he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, that change in his life was everlasting. And Paul was determined to do what God wanted him to do in spite of what he went through. And it was not easy. He kept looking, his eyes looking toward the cross, and that's an example for us today. Paul was an excellent example, as well as Jesus, and so and many, many more. But I was really inspired so much with the book of Acts and how the church was set up. And God can use anybody if your heart is right and you really want to serve him, he can use you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 6309. 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I just want to say that I got a lot of strength out of the book of Acts. I got a lot of my strength from Paul, and it just helped me to be closer and stronger in the Lord. And if you believe in him and you commit yourself to him, you want to do it, he's going to help you all through the way. And it's going to be good times and hard times, but you believe in Jesus, you got it made. So I'm thankful to be able to get on the phone and to make a comment because I learned a lot, and Paul was something else, you know, because he wasn't yeah. no saint when before Jesus changed him. He was a murderer.
That's right.
So,
that's
hey,
right.
what you going to do? If he can do that for Paul, what do you think he can do for you? He can do it for all of us. We have to commit
that's
ourselves
right.
and want it. If we want it, we're going to stay with it. So I'm just thankful to be able to still be on the phone with you all in these studies of these Bible verses and these books. Like I said, you change Paul around. I feel like Paul sometimes because he's doggone strong. He sure enough can change me around. So, you know, I allow
Amen.
Myself to be changed. I want it to be changed. This is something that you have to want, because if you want it, you're going to stay with it. You're going to commit yourself to it, whether it's in the study or going to the church or doing whatever you can. Working for the Lord is working for the Lord. And I'm happy to say that I have learned and I love the Lord, and I have faith and strength because of him, because of what he even taught me. And I'm going to go on as long as he allowed me to go on for him. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7611. 7611. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Yes, Paul has been very interesting because at my job years ago, I had a friend of mine who I thought was a friend of mine. I thought he knew. I thought he was really serious. I hope he was serious. But he really made me lose some think about him, thoughts about him, too. So when I retired, I got interested in Paul before he became Paul, before when he was doing all this killing and tax collecting and whatnot, and the preacher mm-hmm. told me how much this women was so much crazy about before he became Paul. And I made me interested so much I had to stay with him and get a hold of him and keep on reading and reading and reading and trying to understand whatever any minister taught me or heard him speak about it, what Paul was and how he became Paul. And from the time he was knocked down on his knees and put on the domestic road, I kept on digging and digging and digging. And I have enjoyed learning how he became Paul. And I got to the end of it. And I just want to keep on going and learning and learning. And I want to see my so-called friend, but he got mad at me, and now he took his phone and turned his phone off, so I wouldn't really talk to him. So that's all right. I'll see him one of the days. And I'll explain some of the things to him. And tell me the lies that he told me, that you wasn't true what you supposed to say you was. But I learned some of the things. I'm so thankful that I'm not through with Paul yet. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. That's our next caller, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everybody. I've always been a big advocate of learning your history and learning how important it is, and you see how far Christianity has come. If God can use Paul, then he can use anybody. I think we have to get out of our minds that we have to be perfect or have to be at a certain level for God to use us, you know, to do his will. But as you can see, he can use someone like Paul. And, the callers have stated it before me about where Paul was and where Paul ended up being. But you learn the power of obedience. And saying you're obedient and showing it are two different things. And as Christians, we have to show it. You know, God's tired of the lip service, and we have to show our obedience. You know, now we need to start speaking with our actions, less talking, but, you know, definitely powerful. You know, we've learned the power of the Holy Spirit, and I think somebody touched on it. You know, we mm-hmm. have had some Paul moments in our lives or Paul times, mm-hmm. but just recognizing that and learning from it, and that's how you grow. You know, I said in the last 10 years, I say this to Pastor all the time, like, you know, I've really learned more in the last 10 years since being at New Birth and I've known about, you know, the Bible and really taking it to heart and studying it than I've done my whole life. And I've been in church my whole life, but I really wasn't in the Word. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't studying. I knew the books. I knew the characters, but I wasn't really taking time out to break it down and to really understand the importance of it. And you start to see yourself in these chapters. You start to see of where you used to be and where you are. And then as you live this thing we call life, it starts to click more like I've been there. I know that feeling. You know, God has spoken to me, and I've had to suppress God and reject the Holy Spirit. But then you realize when you just give God a chance, the possibilities are endless. But again, you have to want to be utilized by Christ. Christ will always make himself available for a period of time, but his will is ultimately going to get done. But you got to listen to God knocking at the door, and you got to answer it, because tomorrow's not promised. And each day that God gives us to get up, to try it again, to maybe be a blessing to somebody else and a blessing to ourselves, we have to maximize those opportunities. But definitely a great lesson, learn so much. But learning is one part. Now we got to apply that word to our day-to-day living. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 4580. 4580. Good evening.
Good evening to everyone. I have not been in on all the lessons in Acts. So I'm just going to draw on what I've learned. One thing that I have concluded is that God has a mission for all of his children, one with your name on it. Sometimes we accept it and sometimes we don't. When it comes to Paul was persecuted the Christians, and he thought he was doing the right thing. But on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus Christ, and he was commissioned to begin to be a preacher of the word and spread the good news. Peter himself didn't think that Gentiles were worthy of knowing God. But he, too, was set straight and went to the centurion's house and converted all of them. So we must listen and accept what God has given us and just consent and say, God, have your way and to use me. And everybody is commissioned and charged, who's a child of God, to spread the good news to all people with no respecter of persons. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We're going to start the book of Romans, Lord willing, next week. But your final comment. Thank God for everyone tuning in. Big shout out to Margaret, all of the members of New Birth and Heart of God Church, and everyone that tunes in weekly. It's truly been a blessing, and I just thank God for every one of you and all of your participation in helping this to be such an awesome study of the book of the Holy Ghost, the first century church, and teaching us and guiding us even today. Sheila G.
Amen. I just piggyback off of what Aunt Margaret said, that God has given us all a mission. It's up to us to accept it and to follow through. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for allowing us to go through this book of Acts for us to understand the first century church. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to apply it to the 21st century and apply it to our lives, Lord. I pray that you would let each one of us know what the mission is that you have for our lives, and we will pick it up and do as you say. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.